Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hope Mindful Compassion Show. My name is Paul Garrigan. I've decided to do this episode by myself, partly because I'm just dying to try out this new microphone that we just bought, which should greatly improve the sound quality of future podcasts, and also because we have this meditation retreat coming up on New Year's Eve, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the benefits of intensive meditation practice, the sort of reasoning behind it, and what potential benefits we can sort of expect when we do these periods of intensive practice. Now, it's important to make clear that the most important thing is a daily meditation practice, which doesn't necessarily have to be a lot of hours. You know, I say to people leaving Hope, if you can do 20 minutes once or twice a day, I mean, that can really lead to some powerful progress, some real progress. And the thing about a daily practice, it will start to make us feel more comfortable in our own skin, especially if we are doing the heart practices, such as the loving kindness. This can really help us develop a much kinder attitude towards ourselves, and it increases our ability to be compassionate. And it's a daily sort of, you know, commitment to doing that every single day that leads to life-changing progress. And along with that, a daily meditation practice also increases our concentration. And this concentration is very useful because it's this that helps us perform much better against the thinking part of the brain, you know, so that we're much less susceptible to being caught up by thinking or caught out by thinking. And one of the ways that works is to start to create a pause between our habitual patterns. And this pause is very, very important because it means, because we have this pause, it means we don't have to just go with that habitual response. We can choose to do something different. It's only a very small pause that this meditation creates, but it's all that's needed to completely change our life. Because every time we come up to one of these habitual behaviors and we take a different road, I mean, that's life-changing. That's what change is all about. So the daily meditation practice is the most important thing. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you never ever get into meditation enough to do a retreat. That's fine. You don't have to do that. But there are definitely benefits of doing intensive practice. Now, I would classify intensive practice as more than 6 hours a day for multiple days. And it's usually sort of organized. You know, usually you attend a retreat. But it's also possible. I've done lots of home retreats as well. And they can be equally useful. But I mean, if you can go on a proper retreat, that's sort of ideal. Now, retreats were very, very important in my own sort of escape from addiction. I was meditating for a long time, but then I came to Thailand about 16 years ago and I started going on these retreats, and I would turn up at temples to sort of meditate intensively, even though I'd be in withdrawals when I was starting off. But I was at this retreat at Wat Rampong in Chiang Mai that I had this very, very amazing experience in, that I really tasted mental freedom, and that came about as this intensive practice. And once I tasted that freedom, you know, addiction couldn't compare with it anymore, and it convinced me that there was something better. So after that, even though I did drink for another couple of years afterwards, I no longer needed any convincing that there was something much, much better than alcohol or drugs. I'd seen it, I'd experienced it. And, you know, having faith that there's something better is very, very important. But once you actually experience it, you know there's something better. And it becomes much harder to sort of stay with that old life because you know for a certainty that you're settling for something far inferior. So one of the main, you know, benefits for me with the intensive retreats was they let me see there was something much, much better on offer than what was already in my life. And I got to experience it, and it was a complete game changer. One of the other real benefits of the intensive retreat is it's, you know, especially in the beginning, you're much more likely to enter the deep states of meditation, the jhana states, if you're doing intensive practice. Like later on, once you've sort of done them, you know, it becomes easier later on to do it on within shorter time periods. But initially, now, the benefit of these deeper states of concentration is the deeper you go in meditation, you know, the stronger can be the insight you take back from it. So, and these insights, so we all know about knowing stuff. Knowing stuff probably hasn't really helped us all that much. Like we all knew for years that alcohol and drugs what wasn't doing that good for us. We all knew, you know, we all sort of know the right food to eat. We all know the right way to behave, but yet we don't, you know, we just don't. It's like knowing isn't enough. But an insight is very different, and an insight changes us in a very, very fundamental way. It's like a different part of our brain recognizes something, and it can really change. It can just demolish patterns of behavior and just demolish whole ways of being. So one of the ways I explain this to clients at Hope is I say, like, the mind is like a magician, and it's performing these tricks all the time. And when you come to somewhere like Hope, or maybe you figured it out long before, you know, you're told, you know, your brain's a magician. And that's great, because now you know your brain's a magician. You can be much more cautious around it. But that doesn't stop your brain from being able to fool you. The real way to be able to stop the brain from fooling you is to understand how the trick is done. And that's what an insight is. So I say, in regards to, you know, the alcohol addiction, I really clearly saw. So when I went to Tamka Bok, I really saw how the brain was fooling me. I saw how the trick was done, and I saw the trick in such a way that I couldn't be fooled by it again. You know, I don't think I can be fooled by that trick again, because I see it so clearly. It's so obvious to me now. So insights, there are key insights within that he talk about within Buddhism, like, you know, impermanence, non-self and suffering. These are key insights. But there's also lots of other insights we can sort of pick up. And each insight just changes our life and improves our life. The funny thing I found with these insights, it's never a matter of adding more information or more beliefs. It's always a stripping away, like it's like a complete stripping away of a layer of stuff. And which means, like, we go forward much far more at ease and far more, you know, better able to deal with the world. So that's another benefit of the intensive retreats. Now, if you are going on meditation retreat, it's important not to have any expectations at all, because we never know how these things are going to pan out. The sort of brain does its own thing, and sometimes a retreat can be marvelous from the beginning and then go downhill. Sometimes it can be really downhill in the beginning and fantastic at the end, and sometimes it can just be not that much appears to have happened. Although I would say always something important has happened when we do these retreats. Another important, and this is what I'm hoping with the retreat we're doing here at Hope, is that a retreat can really create this long-term commitment to meditation. We see it in such a way that we say, no, I definitely want to make this part of my life. And afterwards, so once you do a retreat, it can become much easier to commit to a daily practice. So it's like you sort of hit the ground running. And I hope that's what's going to happen with those of us who do the retreat here at Hope on New Year's Eve. I hope it'll sort of lead some people to develop this real, real sort of hunger for meditation that will see them through. So, and of course, the final bit I want to talk about is why do a retreat on New Year's Eve? Surely New Year's Eve is meant to be about celebration and being with family. And there is, I mean, there is something, especially being with family, there is something about that. But, you know, in my own case, like, my son goes to bed early on New Year's Eve. And, you know, so it's not, and my wife, it's not a big thing for her either. So, you know, it's not that big a deal for me to miss it. And a few years ago, I started this tradition of meditating on New Year's Eve. Maybe as my son gets older, I'll have to stop it. But, you know, for the foreseeable future, I'll definitely continue it. And it's really, there's something very beautiful about it. And one of the great things about after we stop drink or drugs is that we get to rehabilitate things. So we, you know, you may really associate New Year with getting drunk or high. And so when New Year comes around, that's all those sort of memories are being triggered. But it doesn't take long to create new traditions so that I'm doing this meditation can be a new tradition, a new way of seeing in the New Year. And it's a very, very satisfying thing to be doing. And it's like sort of starting the year as I mean to go on. And there's nowhere I'd rather be at that 12 o'clock than sitting in meditation. And it just feels so right. And it's so much better than all of those midnights when I was just a New Year, when I was just, you know, full of remorse. And even though I'd be hopeful about the future, like deep down, I just didn't feel it could get any better. Like the only thing I really had to look forward to was the hangover in the morning. So there's something very clean and pure about meditation and New Year's. And it is just, it is a great way to start the new year and, you know, start as you mean to go on. So thanks very much for listening to this podcast. And the next one, we'll probably do with a guest again. Don't forget to visit the Hope website or visit our blog. We've got lots of great guest posts on there at the moment. And speak to you soon.